Some of us have been privileged to be raised in the church, and some have been privileged to come into the church. My brother Buzz, I think, was not raised in the church, but he had some good guidance from his wife Sue and from God, and I would not want to say anything smart aleck or anything like that this morning. But Brother Buzz has come from without the church to being one of the foremost in the church, Apostle Buzz Brickhouse.
Well, you're going to give me a short cord there. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning, as it always is among the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. You know, our brother mentioned about everybody came here for the food. Well, when I first came in contact with the church, I weighed 98 pounds. You can believe that. I shouldn't say that from up here, should I? But I enjoy the fellowship, I enjoy the love that we have one for another, and we can come to whatever congregation or home that we might have the chance to, and know that the arms are open and the love of Christ is extended to us, and I'm thankful. And I love to tell the story of Jesus Christ. I love to tell of His love for us, compassion, and His mercy that He has for the children of men, and the desires that He has for us that we might be able to endure to the end and reign with Him and His Father in heaven for eternity. And that's the hope, I'm sure, that each of us has, and we look forward to that time. We've one of the other songs we sang there was I forgot it. But I'll go with you wherever you want me to go. Yeah. And I won't remember the words completely, but, you know, we all feel that way. And I am fortunate in being able to travel around the country and to visiting members and those that are interested in the gospel of Christ. But, you know, many of us, our circumstances are such that we have to stay at home. Our job is to be here among the congregation, to be lights in the communities that we live, and to be good mothers and fathers for our children and grandparents, and to keep on plugging on and to support the work of the rest of us that it's our lot to be able to travel and to preach and to teach. This last several weeks have been very busy and for me and for a lot of us, as we had a youth camp and a reunion and then a ministers' conference. And I'm going to go through a couple of those items to tell you some of the blessings and some of the things that we did at those occasions. Because it's important to know that we remember those activities in our prayers and supplications to our Heavenly Father. You know, here, I guess it's a week ago now, we ended a camp that we had up there in St. Joe, Missouri, and we had 98 kids there. And plus that, we had 25 adults that gave up their time and their talents, and then we were able to pay their own way to camp, you know. And we had an excellent time. I thought that the kids there really were good. And, I mean, they're kids, let's face it. But, you know, when they come from throughout the country, from Miami, Florida, to New York, to Colorado, from Phoenix and Arizona and Missouri and Michigan and The intent there is to give the youth of the church an opportunity to have good Christian fellowship with those of similar faith, and for us to be able to teach to them acceptable behavior and the hopes that we and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And our theme this year was we always try to pick a theme each year, and we picked the scripture, and the theme was verse 6 of chapter 55 of Isaiah. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And we try to bring out that thought in our various activities and classes. The need for each of us, because it's a learning experience for everybody that's up there, including the counselors, the adults, and the kids. You know, the need for us to seek the Lord in our life and his will in our life, to petition him in our prayers over all matters, no matter what they might be. We then came out of, I want to tell you a little bit. We did something different. We had a different set of classes. Now, the camp is made up of, I'll run through it real fast. We start each morning, and the counselors meet at 6:30 and try to open up our eyes. And we talk about problems that we might have and try to coordinate some activities, wake the kids up. And then we have a devotion and a flag-raising ceremony. And there's a scripture reading, and then they eat breakfast and clean their dorms and stuff. And then we have a study class for an hour. And Ken Orr was the instructor for that, and he and about eight of ministry then broke down those 100 kids into groups of 10 and talked about the will of God in our lives, who God was, who Jesus Christ was, who the Holy Ghost is, and the workings of the Spirit, and to try to give them some understanding of what's available. That we have a tendency to tell our kids, of all the terrible things that's out there, but we don't tell them of the hope that we have and the tools that the Lord has given us to overcome the temptations of the world, and trying to give them to get an experience in that regard. And then we have various activities, and there was many that taught classes from rappelling to ham radio to wood carving to character building to, and I'm not, as soon as you list them all, you forget some, and I'm not trying to, but there are a lot of different activities. And we have a noon devotional, swimming in that in the afternoon, sports activities, and then they have some cabin time where they go back to their cabins and talk seriously with their counselors about various subjects. Some of the cabins had opportunities for ministry to come and visit and let the kids ask us questions or handle a certain subject. Sometimes we had a problem that had to be addressed, had to be confronted. There were activities that were going on that weren't godly or whatever, or people's feelings were hurt. And nothing real drastic, let me correct that. But, we wanted to teach them just things like, it's okay if you're offended by somebody's attitude towards you or something, to say something, and we need to be able to talk through these and make sure that we aren't offending one another. And then we have a dinner and an evening class, and this evening class, we used to meet with all the kids together, and it's called a quest class. And this year we did it different, and we broke the kids down by age, and there was five different subjects. That first subject for the kids in seventh grade or 12 years old was about the church, and give them an introduction to the church, who God was again, and what the Church of Christ is. And it was pretty preliminary, and that was taught by Brother Glenn Gill with some help from Randy Sheldon and Dan Lawrence. Then the next group of the eighth and ninth graders, the class was taught by Brother Joel Yates and myself, and we tried to teach them decision-making and making good and bad decisions, right and wrong, and gave them some examples and tried to, put it in their perspective. I got as much out of that class, let me tell you. In fact, you're going to hear some of that later, as those kids did, because they ended up using that tool that the Lord has provided for us on through the week and helping you make decisions. The next oldest class was, I believe it was the sophomores in high school, and was taught by Brother Jay Mosier taught by Brother Gordon McKinnon and his wife Patsy. Patsy has a lot of experience and has been a counselor in high schools for 20-some years. They talked about starting to prepare to date, and the thoughts that are in young people's minds, and you know, at whatever age that is, 13 or 14 years old. And the juniors had a class taught by Brother Jay Mosier, who talked about, dating and choosing of partners and decisions that they were making as young adults, and the things that they needed to be aware of as minor decisions made when you're a sophomore or junior in high school that can affect you for the rest of your life and what you're looking for as a partner for life. The senior class, and for those kids that are seniors, and some of the counselors in training, in fact, some of the young counselors went to this class taught by Brother Don McIndoe on the marriage relationship and our responsibility. The intent was of all of that is to try to begin to develop that sense of responsibility, that sense of family and sense of community within our children at a young age, and to give them some tools in which to combat the things of the world that abounds around us. So we were really thankful for the opportunities and the questions the kids came out with at those classes, and we thought it went real well, and in fact have met since camp, and have already talked some about next year's camp activities we want to change, things we want to improve on, things we want to drop out, things we want to add, and we'd appreciate your prayers in the coming year for that effort. Then, of course, we went to a reunion, and there were a fair amount of us that are in this room were at reunion. As I look around the room, and I always enjoy reunions. And if you didn't have the chance to go this year, plan on going next year and fellowshipping with the body of Christ as they came from all over the country, and we are allowed to spend 3 days together and hearing prayers and testimonies and the love of God and His mercy and how He's blessed us, and sermons from five or six different preachers from various places and various experiences, preaching the Word of God to us, and a beautiful sacrament service that we had there Sunday morning. And I really encourage anybody that can to attend any of those reunions that they can. It's good to be able, as much as you get out of the preaching and those services, it's the fellowship during dinner and afterwards, and getting to know others in the body of Christ and testifying one to each other of God's blessings. We then had a ministers' conference. Well, the council had 2 days of meetings, and then we had a ministers' conference, there were some items that came up there that I want to mention, because I'm going to ask for your prayers for the ministry. The first morning we met in a season of fasting and prayer for the first 3 or 4 hours, I guess it is. On Wednesday afternoon, we got into our business session and had the election of a secretary and those things. We had been studying a subject on marriage and divorce and trying to come up with scriptural references of the importance of the marriage covenant and the marriage vow and the problem that's how to handle the problem of divorce that's just rampant in our society and within the body of Christ. And, we had some problems in handling that, didn't we, Alan? And they were real, and we finally decided we had to lay that subject aside, and it was going to take some more fasting and prayer by the ministry this next year, and we ended up putting it as our subject to come back to next year. And so we'd appreciate your prayers on our behalf, that we might be more than in unity on those issues, and let the Lord direct us into the things that he wants us to teach and to preach concerning the marriage vow and the problem that we have in divorce. But after we set that aside and got out of the realm of having to legislate something, I guess, is, you know, we had a good open discussion on what are the things that we can do within the body of Christ to eliminate that problem of broken marriages. And we came out that, you know, there's a need for us to, as parents, as husbands and wives, to be good examples for our children. To be good examples for those that are around us in our neighborhoods and our congregations. And it got brought out that there's a couple of good sermons that were, and there are articles in The Advocate also by Brother Don McIndoo. And I'd advise each of you to read those articles with your husband or your wife and discuss it. And or get a copy of the tapes of two sermons. There's a sermon on the scriptural husband and another one on the scriptural wife that was taught by Brother Don McIndoo. And Sue and I, in fact, listened to the one on the scriptural husband on the way down here this morning. And they're excellent. And there's things that we need to be aware of, and things that we need to put to practice in our life, that we might grow in our understanding one for another in that relationship. I think it's important that we, as a body of Christ, hold up before us the ministry as a body of men. That as these problems confront within our congregations, that we might have the wisdom and the leading of the Spirit to help in counseling our couples, both before they get married and if there's problems once they have been married. And also that we pray for one another, that we're open and we'll ask ministry to come into our homes if we're having a problem and be able to discuss the things that God wishes for us to do, to work on the relationship as God has ordained that to be, and to understand the scriptures that God has given us to help us to develop that relationship and to increase it and to improve it and to lift it up. So my point in mentioning that is to petition each of your prayers for the ministry and for our families and the family structure within the church. We then had the opportunity to set a schedule and the items we wanted to discuss next year at that meeting, and we had the opportunity to discuss the missionary endeavor of the church various of the ministry talked of experiences they have had in the missionary field or within their congregations some of the activities that have occurred both on Indian reservations or within restoration branches of the restored church or with our members that are scattered throughout the country, or small congregations that we visit or large congregations that we work with, and of an effort that we have and trying this year to make contact with those of the Jewish faith. You know, there's a need for us to bring Jesus Christ to the Jews. We're commanded to do that in the scriptures. And there has been little or no activity. We don't have any experience in doing that, I guess is the right. We petition your prayers in that effort. Or if any of you know of ways that we might be able to to make contact within the Jewish community. We'd like to know it. And so we're just learning that whole process. But as I contemplate and look back over the youth camp and the reunion and the ministers conference, I have great hope. I have great hope in the body of Christ. I am encouraged to the efforts that are being put forth and the prayers and the desires of the members of the body of Christ. And I want you to know that the ministry appreciates your prayers. We appreciate your concerns. We appreciate your support. Because none of the efforts of any of us that travel and or have an opportunity to visit various places, you know, we can't do that without the support of the body of Christ, both in your prayers and our temporal support and opening up your homes and your hearts and to receive those things. And you're all part of that work. I mean, it's a work that's important, a work that we're commanded to do. But sometimes when we go into conferences or things and we end up with getting in some discussions that may deem to be negative, you know, those are opportunities for us to overcome. And you have to look at it that way. It's an opportunity to allow us to let the Lord work in our lives. The same as it is if we have a problem within our family, because we're all a family. We're the family of Christ. And we have family problems in our own small family structure that are very similar to those that we have as the body of Christ. The Lord desires that we're together. We're together in unity. And he has a desire that each one of us endures to the end. You know, sometimes we talk or we hear and we hear, have all that we think of all these terrible things that are around us, and there are many in the world today, tugging on us and pulling us apart and dragging us away from the body of Christ and the commandments of Christ. But the Lord has given us the tools to overcome all those things. And what he desires, he talks about the punishments other than the judgment that's going to take place. Okay, but what he desires of each of us is that we endure to the end. You know, he really desires that each of us will walk in that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. He desires that we keep that focus in our life, that we not lose sight of what it is that we're here to accomplish, what our purpose here on earth is, that we might yield, that we might give our hearts and our lives and our thoughts and our minds and our wherewithal to who? To Jesus Christ. That we might sufficiently humble ourselves in such a way that we'll yield, that we'll no longer have the desire to do our own carnal desires, the things that Satan uses to drag us away, to pull on us, that we'll be able to overcome all those. So as we're down, as we're tempted, as we're drawn apart, as we might fall, because we all fall and we all sin, there's a need for us to remember that Christ died for our sins. That the Lord desires that each one of us obtains eternal salvation. And that he has provided the way for us. That he will give us the strength. That he'll give us the guidance and the direction. That he'll forgive us when we falter. That our sins will be completely wiped away. That we'll be washed clean. And that our need as we go through life is to continually to, you know, it tells us to what? To work unto perfection. To work as far as for perfection. To continue to make improvements on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we might be perfected in Jesus Christ. You know, that we're to work to get ourselves on a higher plane. That, you know, our daily activities should be, it's like a jack on your car, you know. A little bit of effort, you jack up one notch. You know, our efforts to be jack ourselves up to a higher plane. Okay? And you know, there's have we all jacked up a car at one time or another? What's the first thing that you have to do? One of the first things is you got to make sure that jack is on a firm foundation, right? Or you get it halfway up, and we've all had that occurrence, I'm sure. We haven't done that, and the car rolls on down the hill. But you know, our foundation, the thing that has to be the basis of our beliefs and our actions and our desires is the gospel of Christ. And that's what we should build all our efforts on. Just like setting that jack on the ground. And our effort to jack that up a little bit, you know. First thing we got to do is there's a little lever on most of them that you got to press it the right way, up or down, right? Well, get it going in the right direction first. Understand where it is that we're trying to obtain. And then start putting efforts. And you know, it may be a better example because I have done this. If you ever worked with a hydraulic jack, it's a little bit different because you don't feel those levels. You know, it's more smoother. But did you ever take a hydraulic jack and just try to lower the vehicle 1 inch or something? You know, where you just turn that little bit and zoom, you know, you're back down on it. You know, we've all had that experience because, you know, it's real hard to do. That's real easy in our lives as we go along and we're trying to get ourselves up to that higher level that we sin, we go backwards and sometimes we go right down to the bottom again. But we can't allow that to happen because he's provided for us to be able to raise to that higher level and obtain eternal salvation. And we've got to keep up, but it takes effort. It takes somebody pumping that handle. It takes, you know, desire. It takes a planning. You got to make sure that you're headed in the right direction. That you have a firm foundation. That you know what the will of God is in our lives, and what it is that He expects. And then He's provided the tool for us to rise. And that should be the hope and the desire of each of us here. That we have that responsibility to ourselves. We have that responsibility one to another and within our families, with our children, to look forward in hope, believing in the promises. I talked a little bit on the theme of this year's camp and the need of the point we were trying to get across to the kids, and that's for them to seek the Lord in their lives. Why He's available? Why they're young and they're making decisions in their life? But that is to each of us, no matter what our age is. And that whole 55th chapter of Isaiah is a beautiful chapter, and I'd like to read that. I'm going to take off my coat here. It says, starting with the first verse, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delighteth in fatness." You know, we're called, each of us. Each of us are called. And as the Lord has laid beautiful promises and the blessings of what's available to each of us. And as he says here, you know, what is it that we're laboring for? What is it that we've put as a priority in our life? What is it that we make our efforts for? He goes on and tells that we're to diligently seek him. It says, hearken diligently unto me. Yield. Listen to the words that he's provided and put them to practice in our life. It's going to take an effort to search those things out. He tells us in another scripture that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's an overt action on our part, that we're attempting to seek the will of God in our lives, that we're headed in the right direction, that we're attempting to get to that higher plane. In the third verse, it says, incline your ear. Another place in the scriptures, it says, trifle not at the things that are brought to us. We should willingly and wantonly listen for the enticings of the Holy Spirit to direct us. Incline our ear, Don't be stiff-necked and straight, but, to almost bow down and to go like this and listen, because he wants to direct us. But we have to step out of the noise of the world. We have to lean and make it an outright act to incline our ear. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's a beautiful verse there, and a lot of hope. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Forgiveness. The Lord will forgive us. The Lord will desires that we put behind us our sins, where we err, the mistakes that we've made, but that we look to him, that we humbly come to him and ask for forgiveness. And he says he will what? Abundantly pardon. A beautiful promise. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Again, it talks there about our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways, but there's a higher way. And we need to set that goal for our personal lives, to obtain that higher way that he has given us, that he taught to us, that he has given as an example, that his very son came down here on earth and dwelt among the children of men and set the example for us. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, talking about the blessings if we do these things. If we humble ourselves, if we ask for forgiveness, if we obtain and try to arrive at that higher plane, and he says then, instead of the thorn, instead of the problems that we have that drag us down, that stick us in the side, that fester and, and bother us and take our very thoughts away from Jesus Christ. It says instead of that, we'll have a fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That he'll pour out his blessings upon us. Because he's promised that. And he's a God that doesn't change. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if God makes a promise, he fulfills it. And we can stand on that. And we need to stand on that. We go through life, and we go through trials and temptations. And we understand that the scriptures say that this is the day of our probation. This is the day for us to prepare to meet God. And we're given in the scriptures the commandments of God. And we're given the example of Jesus Christ. And then we feel that, we experience it, we have that desire. And then we walk out the back door and go to our homes, and we have to live it. You know, it's like where the rubber hits the road. We have to put it to practice. And it's easy for us to be in the body of Christ and to learn of these things and to read them and to have that desire. It's another thing to be able to put them to practice in our lives. But he's available to us in our homes, in our quiet places, in our cars, in our workplaces. He'll help us to make decisions. He'll guide us and direct us because he's promised. If we'll incline our ear, if we'll approach him in humbleness. I was going to several seminars when I was working. I was at one that this professor had taught as a fellow that had a doctorate degree. And beside that, he was a nice guy. And he was real down to earth. And, you know, he said, you know, one of the things that we had to tell a little bit about ourselves to get used to talking to each other, and I had stood up and told him that I was a minister of the Church of Christ. And I went on and talked a little bit about that. And after that session broke up and we were out in the hall and talking, he walked up to me and he said, yeah, it was real interesting to find out that you were a minister. And he talked to me a little bit about the church. He said, you know, I teach people in these classes all day. And, you know, I've always wanted to had a chance. And he said, I go to a lot of different churches. And he had no specific belief except he professed to believe Christ. He said, but you know, the churches always tell us what we're to do in the scriptures, he said. But what in his feeling is it lacks us, giving us the ability to do it. How do we actually accomplish it? Okay. And I think of that. One of the things that we were trying to do at the camp is, you know, the kids have all year to hear preachers come to their congregations or whatever and tell them all these things. But, you know, when the rubber's hitting the road, how do I really do that? And we can get that sometimes in a small class by other kids or other adults telling us how they've been able to overcome something in their experience. One of the reasons I think we have prayer and testimony services, that we can strengthen one another. We had a specific item that I'd like to talk about today, and it's something that I hope that we can take with us today as we go home, that we'll not only remember the good food that we're going to have, but we can remember the fellowship that we had, the Sunday school class that we had, but we can take something that we can use this afternoon and tomorrow in our lives to strengthen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. One of the classes that we taught at camp was that class on decision making. And we talked about that basically there's three major decisions that we make in our life. And one of them, the first one is, the most important, is whether or not we're going to serve Jesus Christ. The decision that we have to make. and then ponder in our hearts what it means to serve Jesus Christ. And that we have that desire that we either have already made or are making or have made or will make is, you know, what's going to be our livelihood? What's our profession? What kind of work are we going to do? Okay. And that's really in connection with our desires to serve Jesus Christ. The type of work that we accomplish, that we have taken upon ourselves, to our livelihood, to provide for our family and our loved ones. A third major decision that we make is who's going to be our life's companion. You know, most of us, I'm looking around, most of us have made that, you know, that decision. And then what's involved in keeping that relationship once we have made it? You know, important decisions that we are affected no matter what our age or what time frame we're in or where we are in that decision-making process, we still have them before us. And what we talked about, what I'd like to talk about this morning here briefly, is a couple tools that has been provided that might help us. And there is three questions that we might ask when we're trying to determine what's right or wrong. The first one might be, you know, what's the effect on us as an individual? You know, is it going to be good for my health? Is it going to hurt me if I'm going to do this? Is it going to, you know, hurt my health? Either my physical health or my spiritual health. If I am to have this decision to make, how's it going to affect me? You know, and then as importantly, or maybe even more importantly, you know, how does it affect others? My making this decision for right or wrong and trying to determine if I what I should do, it, you know, how is this action that I'm contemplating going to affect others? And I'd like to turn to the 14th chapter of Romans. And starting with the 13th verse, read several verses there. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judges rather that no man put a stumbling block in or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemn not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know? How are our actions, our deeds, our the things, that, our decisions, how are they going to affect others? Go through the thought process about you, yourself. You know, our actions affect others. There's, you know, many times our lives, our actions in the body of Christ, the only scriptures that others in the world see. And as we are out in the world and we're making decisions and living a life, you know, we don't want to put a stumbling block in front of somebody else and saying, you know, that was wrong, and so having them have some problem with our actions. Another question is, you know, what's the effect on the cause of Christ if I do this? How's it going to affect the cause of Christ and his desire for the children of men, for the body of Christ? And we have that responsibility to ask that question when we, you know, make decisions. You know, how is this decision going to affect the cause of Christ? And I'd like to read 1 Corinthians there in the 10th chapter, 31st verse. It says, whatsoever thing you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Neither give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So we should be doing things that are going to glorify God, that might draw others, that they might have that desire to search the things out themselves, that they might be brought into the fold of God, that their souls might be saved. So we have a responsibility. How are our actions affecting the cause of Christ? Are they edifying? Are they drawing others closer? Are our everyday activities, whatever they might be, our jobs, our homes, our relationships, you know, do we possess that charity of that spoken of? Do we have long suffering? Are we expressing letting our light shine, or expressing the countenance of Christ in our lives? So we got, there's three questions that we can ask. When we've got something that we don't really know how we should choose, you know, effect on ourselves, effect on others, and effect on the cause of Christ. And remember, the desire is, and the need for us is to continually work unto perfection and raise to a higher level. There's also three simple tests that we might use. And those, I'm going to just state them first. The test of secrecy, the test of universality, and the test of prayer. You know, if you're going to decide to do something, is it something that you would not want everybody else to know that you're doing? If it is, it's probably wrong. You know. Would you mind, or the headline test, you know, your name on the headlines of the paper, you know, Buzz Brickhouse did this. Would you be embarrassed about it? You know. And I'm going to read a fifth chapter of Ephesians. It's a good reference on that, I think, starting with the eighth verse. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving which is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth made manifest in light. You know, the need for us to, you know, it's just a good test. You know, we want others to know that we're doing it. Helps us in the decision making. Another one is that test of universality. What would it be like if we all did it? You know, what would it be like in the church if everybody did that? Or in our communities? Would we like what we saw? You know, what would it be like if the pastor did it? You know, would it be okay if, is it okay for us to do it, but we wouldn't want to see the pastor do it? Well, you know, then we probably shouldn't be doing it. Because we all have the same commandments. We all have the same tests. We all have the same requirements. Another test is, you know, is it something that I can pray about? Can we go to the Lord in prayer over that? Can we ask God, to go with us on that activity? You know, would is that something that He desires that we be doing? Can we ask Him to bless us while we're doing it or obtaining it? Would it be something that, would be furthering the cause of Christ? What would Jesus Christ Himself do in these circumstances? Tools that we have that we need to be using when we're making decisions of life. As we leave here, as we go our various places, and we have that desire, it's important that we reflect where we're headed. What are we doing to, improve our relationship with our Heavenly Father? What is it that He desires of us? We know and stated that, He desires that each one of us obtain eternal salvation. He has offered to us forgiveness if we humbly come to Him and repent of those sins that we have and forsake them and we put them behind us. He'll give us strength to overcome them. He'll lead our very lives. And He's promised us that He'll bless us abundantly as He pardons abundantly. And He'll pardon again if we continue to improve and to diligently seek Him and can keep a relationship with Him. So I hope today that you might remember the thoughts that have been brought out. I hope that we all have the hope of eternal life before us. And we look forward with joy in the opportunities that the Lord provides us to serve Him. And we gainfully and willfully and wantonly search those things out and allow Him to lead us. Work within our hearts and our minds. If we'll take on the responsibilities that we have within the body of Christ of being good stewards of this gospel that He's provided us, and that we'll use it in our lives and profess it, that we'll let our light shine, that we'll allow Him to work within our hearts and our minds and yield. And that we might, one or two simple things that I brought out here, we might remember, when I have to make a decision. Three questions. How does it affect me? How might it affect others? How does it affect the cause of Christ? Should I be doing it? Should I do it or should I? How can I test it? Is it something that I don't care if everybody knows I'm doing? I don't have to be secret about it? What were the other ones? Could we pray about it? Right? And I just forgot the third one. See? So easy. How would it be if everybody did it? There's a good one, by the way. That one at camp was really good. They had one thing. The class I had, it was okay if every kid in that class went to a rock concert, but the apostle couldn't go. And I said, hold it, kids. And that was a hot subject for them, but the kids had never looked at it that way. They gave all the reasons why it was okay for them, but how did it affect the cause of Christ? What would others think, And it wasn't something that they could really pray about. It wasn't some place that they thought that they could bring Christ to. They didn't want their ministry going there. And you could just see the gears going in their minds. Maybe I'm not supposed to be there. And that's why we have those things to help us to remember where we are and where we're going. I'd like to close with a reading of the 115th Psalm. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in heaven, for he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is our help and their shield. In our shield, it says their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And I praise the Lord because he is the Lord. And he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. And he's an unchangeable God. And he's available to us. And as we need to continue to put our trust in him and not into the things of the world, because they hear not his spot. You know, those idols that we have of things of the world and our carnal desires, they don't hear our prayers. They don't hear our supplications. They don't bless us and lift us up and forgive us of our sins. But the Lord, he is the Lord, and we can put our trust and need to put our trust in him and him only. Thank you.
Well, even with the warning that he was going to close, I wasn't quite ready. Thank you, Brother Buzz. And thank you, and let's turn to number 225 for our closing song. 225. Would you all stand, please? you bow your head, please? Oh God, we thank thee for the message of the hour and pray that we might, each one of us, test or judge ourselves of what we are doing and what we should do. Help us, Heavenly Father, to give wisdom in our thoughts and in our deeds to do thy will. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the food that has been prepared. Pray that I would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, that we might use that strength to glorify thee, that we might have the Spirit to go with us to our several homes, that we might be kept safe from the evils of the world. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.